Thank you for tuning in to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple podcast. My name is Carlos Navarrete, and I'm the lead pastor. Our goal is to magnify God through His Word, and we pray that you'll be drawn closer to Jesus through this message. If this message is a help to you, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review and subscribe. And most importantly, please share with friends through social media to help us spread God's Word. Now here's today's message.
Take your Bible today, go to Galatians chapter 5, and we continue our Miraculous Living series. I appreciate your patience with my voice. I feel like I've got some of those leaves all of you have been cleaning up from your yard, you know what I mean? All the pollen landed in my throat. How many of you had that problem lately, you know what I mean? So we're going to today. Today we come to verse number 23 in Galatians 5, where we look at, today is the ninth attribute of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says here, and it calls him, and it says that you, the fruit of his spirit in you, is meekness. Would you look at that word there in verse 23? It's the word meekness, the word meekness. And so this is the qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you, the topic today, the word we're going to talk about is the word humility. Humility. How many of you would agree with me? That's a difficult topic to talk about. And I was thinking about that on Monday, and I said, Lord, that's just not fair. You know, there's just not a lot of ways to win at this one. I mean, about the time, you know, you do a good job and you think you know what it is, you're not humble. And so I don't want to give you in any way today the impression that I have attained it. I pray today that in some way you will know that I'm speaking to you as a student. So everybody said, just help me with that. But I know this, one of the greatest desires of my life and ministry is that I may have the power of God on my life. How many of you are here and you'd say, you know what, that's what I want. I don't want to just show up to church, get a little religion, go back and live the same way. You want God's power to show up in your life this week. Anybody here like that, right? And if that's you, then you know what we need to do today is just step back, because what we need is more, not more power, but a condition of soul that will help us and allow us to be blessed with God's power. There's many stories in the Bible. I remember one of them in the Gospels, the disciples, Jesus chose 12. He sent them out, and the Bible says he gave them authority to cast out demons. And yet, they didn't. And they came back frustrated. They said, Lord, you gave us authority. How many of you understand the word authority there is the word power? And the Bible says, they said, what happened? And Jesus said, you have a problem. It's not that I didn't give you authority. It's that your condition of soul isn't right. I can't step in. I can't work through you. The Bible says, he looked at him and he said, some come not but by prayer and by fasting. We're the same way. God is many times concerned about our hearts. But the Bible says that many times we're concerned about the fruit and the outward. I think of this thing of humility. It's such an important trait. I remember years ago I listened to a lot of audiobooks. I remember listening to Jim Collins' great book, Good to Great. How many of you read that great book, right? Stanford professor. And they took 5 years and studied good companies that somehow made the jump, the leap to great companies. And there was a certain number of qualities that they discovered. One of them was they said that their leaders had a combination of steely determination and an attitude of humility. He said they were shocked. These weren't tenacious men like Caesar or Patton. These were graceful men like Lincoln and Socrates. Now, the truth is that humility works in business. Humility works out there in that world. But I want to tell you something. Humility works, and it's important, between you and the Lord. When Jesus spoke of a relationship with God, he gave a story in Luke chapter 18. He said, he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were, watch this, righteous and despised others. These are some proud people. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee, a religious man. The publican, a tax collector, a thief, a guy that didn't have a good reputation. The Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now listen to what he says. God, I thank thee that I'm not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And watch this. I think he looked over and glanced and he said, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I gave tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, the Bible says, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down, he said, to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and everyone, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, with God, the way up is down. See, the way with God, the way to forgiveness is repentance. See, with God, the way to power is understanding that you need him and admitting it. Somebody said these words. This is there's a great little book by Andrew Murray. I think it's in the Resource Center. It's just called Humility. And he said, humility is not one of many good character traits. It is the root of all of them. Because it places us in the right relationship with God and frees him up to do all that he desires. Isn't that amazing? If you want love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, joy, meekness, temperance, goodness, the Bible says you've got to start with being humble. The meek shall inherit the earth. We've been studying the book, The Cure, in our Sunday night growth groups. What a great study. I hope you'll be here tonight. Read chapter 3. You know what we learned? We learned is that the humility is the key that opens the door of the room of grace. Andrew Murray said it. Jesus said it. And I'm here to tell you, humility is the key. It's the key. And today's culture has turned this vice of pride into a virtue. How many of you have figured that out? All of a sudden, pride is good. Have anybody figured that out? Everybody parades their pride. We have a world of selfies. We have carefully crafted personas on social media. It's a rare quality to look at anybody and go, well, that's a humble person. And it's been that way throughout history. I want you to ask yourself this question. What is humility? What does it look like? Because a lot of people make a couple of mistakes when we talk about meekness or humility. Here's the first. The first mistake we made is we think that meekness is weakness. And I'm just here to tell you, it's just not so. The Bible specifically tells us that when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So if you think somehow meekness is weakness, let me tell you, you haven't tried to be meek. We've confused it with a negative trait. It's not a lack of self-worth. It's not humility is not low self-esteem. It's not somebody who goes and stands in the corner and doesn't let anybody talk to them. It's not inability. It's or being without strength. It's not being humiliated. Pat Williams, in his book Humility, said a humiliated person feels weak and enslaved, but a humble person feels strong to help others. A humiliated person feels helpless and hopeless, but a humble person feels helpful and hopeful. A humiliated person feels powerless and dishonored, but a humble person feels empowered and dignified. Humiliation tears down, but humility builds up. Humiliation is a tragedy. Humility is a choice. So it's not weakness. Let me tell you what else it isn't. It's not self-deprecation. Now, you all know people, you know what I mean, who always remind you of how humble they are because, you know, they help others. And they always remind you of how humble they are because they put themselves down, you know, just to get you to give them a compliment. I remember so many times, you know, I'd be driving home and I'd look over at my wife and I'd say, boy, that was a terrible message. That was awful. I mean, I think people were like, you know, converting to Hinduism while I'm preaching the gospel. You know what I mean? They're going, forget this guy. It was awful. And I look at Jenny and I say, that was terrible, wasn't it? And my sweet, dear wife would say, oh, it was great, you know. And you know what? That wasn't humility. That's fishing for a compliment. And we have this false humility. We're trolling for a compliment. Somebody said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Sometimes you see people who want to tell you how humble they are, and the more they talk, the more you realize they're full of themselves. So we learned before that no one is born generous. And some of you looked at me like I am. And then we preached the message and nobody, wanted to shake my hand afterwards. So I think I struck a nerve. Can I get a witness, right? Amen. And today I just want to tell you this. Nobody here is born humble. Amen. It's something the Bible says we need to seek. James 4 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall what? Lift you up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, Peter said, likewise, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So the Bible says, if you seek humility, you'll find it. If you look for it, the Bible says, you can learn it, you can achieve it, you can have it, you can be humble, you can be, the Bible says, like the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's understand a little bit about humility. Number one, consider humility with me. Here's the best definition I found. Somebody said, humility is using all I have for the good of others. Using all I have for the good of others. Your skills, your abilities, your proclivities, your assets, your time, your money, your resources for the good of others. Now, here's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to take what you have and use it for you and be and pervert it to, well, you're just trying to build your kingdom and do it your way. And by the way, that's what God doesn't want you to do. God gifted you with personality. God gifted you with time. God gave you temperament. God gave you, the Bible says, personality. God gave you resources. God gave them to you so that you can bring them under his control for his glory. Humble people aren't lazy people. Humble people set goals, and humble people go forward, and humble people help people, and humble people aren't doormats, but they don't crave recognition. And so I want you to see, number one, the enemy of humility. What's the enemy of humility? Well, you've probably read it before, but I want you to read it with me again. Would you take your Bible and open to Proverbs 16, please? And I want you to circle or underline this verse if you've never done that in your Bible. And I want you to go to Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. The Bible here speaks of what we call the problem with pride. Notice what it is. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction. So before a marriage gets destroyed, before a church falls apart, before a friendship falls apart, you know what happens? Somebody's proud. That's what that means. Pride goeth before destruction. An unhaughty spirit before a... So before somebody falls, before somebody, you know, the Bible says, busts, if you will, the Bible says, before they fall, they have had a haughty spirit. I've seen it played so many times. I was talking to one of my college instructors, and I have a Bible in my office, and I had written down the names of 30 men whom I felt were just on fire for God. And when we were in, you know, Bible school and seminary and studying for ministry, and I remember writing their names down, and then... I remember as he was here to preach, I remember I asked Brother Getch, I said, hey, how many of these guys do you know are still in ministry? And he'd say, yes, no, yes, no. And it seemed like we did pretty good, about 75% were still serving God. And he said, you know, he said, I have the name of the other eight that I'm praying for. And I said, why did they drop out? Why did they fall in sin? And every time his reason was, all of them, he said, they have one thing in common. They were arrogant. Now, isn't it interesting that our culture has made arrogance a virtue? Remember Muhammad Ali? He'd say these words. He'd say, at home I'm a nice guy, but I don't want the world to know, because humble people I found don't get very far, he said. A lot of people feel that way. They think, well, you know, you have to promote yourself. You got to get treated right. You got to tell them where you've been and what you're doing and so on. And listen, is there anything wrong with having pride in your work, with being recognized, when telling somebody what you've accomplished? There's nothing wrong with it. It's when the recognition becomes the motive for you doing it. It's when you don't do the work for the work's sake, but you do the work for recognition. It's not when you do the work and you know, so that others are blessed. It's when you're stroking your own ego. And so many people, you know, they get angry. I mean, they feel humiliated because people don't love them enough or appreciate them enough or, you know, thank them enough. If they're not recognized, and I'm telling you as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times people get upset about not being recognized, you know what I mean, about something they're doing, and they cause such a stink, like, oh, well, you know, nobody knows what I'm trying to do here. And I often will say, listen, we do our best. We really do try to write thank you notes and just recognize as best we can and thank people who've done it. But you know what the truth is? Many times the root of people who are grumblers, honestly, it's just pride. They're also the people that are least thankful. They're grumbly hateful unless they're being humbly grateful. And so listen, here's what the Bible says. We need to understand. Pride is the enemy. Somebody said, you know you're a servant by how you act when you're treated like one. How are you treated? How do you respond when somebody says, hey, would you fold that there? Would you pick that up? Would you just, you know, put those chairs up? Luke 17:10, Jesus says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. We're unprofitable. We just did what we're supposed to do. Humble person doesn't depend on whether, you know, their efforts are praised or if people gave him a plaque or if, you know, they got a bonus. Happiness isn't bound to what other people think of them. They don't depend on recognition for happiness and for contentment, but pride does. See, pride is never hungry, never satisfied. Pride is always hungry. So the focus isn't on us. The enemy of humility, the Bible says, it's pride. When the focus is on us. And the Bible says the focus when we are humble is on God. It's on others. what such anxiety that people carry today because they feel, because of pride, they just, it's never enough. How many of you know somebody, you can never do enough for them? Humility doesn't rely on what they get. They're happy to see others blessed. They're fed by keeping the focus on God and on others. Pride is always hungry for more. Pride, is not self-sustained, but humility sustains itself. It's called contentment. No one who wants to become a spiritually mature Christian doesn't pursue humility with their lives. The enemy of humility is pride. But can I give you number two? The example of humility. Now, folks, who is the greatest example of humility that we've ever seen? Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it starts with looking at his life. The greatest example of humility we've ever seen and will ever see is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when he came? The Bible tells us that he was the Son of God, God the Son. He left the throne. He was the highest in the totem pole. And the Bible says that in Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus comes to earth. Watch this. And he's born in a barn. Next to animals, and cows, and sheep, and goats. And that speaks of lowliness, doesn't it? Of being exposed, of contentment. He left the world hanging from a Roman cross, naked, unrecognizable as a human being. Don't believe all the little statues that you've seen. They're nothing like the reality. No one's ever suffered like our Savior suffered. Humiliated, exposed, a failure. His entire life, he served. He gave everything he had, all his resources, time, money, personality, proclivities, the Bible says, so that others could be helped. So here's the question then. How do we come like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, folks, I got to tell you, I don't know. But I went to the scriptures this week and looked at some resources. And I'm going to give you some ways we can cultivate humility. Would you write these down? I think you'll be helped. Here's number one. Recognize your pride. Now, it's hard for me to preach on these things, but I just want to say, you know, sometimes I think as preachers we can get to where, you know, folks think, oh, well, he's got to have it down. And I tell you, this is a battle for me. I know it's a battle for you. Like the preacher, remember? Maybe you heard of the preacher who had a message on humility, but he said, I haven't found a crowd worthy enough to preach it to. Or the guy that wrote the book, you know, 10 Humble People and How I Found the Other 9. Anyway, recognize your pride. The Bible mentions a lot of sins, but none is as hurtful as pride. Pride is the worst. It's the father of all sins. And the reason is, amongst many reasons, is it blinds us. Isn't it amazing how we can see it in other people, but we don't see it in ourselves? It's easy to see it in others. It's a lifelong quest. You don't recognize your pride one time, you know? I mean, it'd be easy today for some of you to come to the altar and go, Lord, I'm sorry, I've just been so proud. And all of a sudden, you know, walk out. And by the time you hit the lobby, you're going, I'm so proud of how sensitive I am. And all of a sudden, you've undone it all. So this is an ongoing, the Bible says, situation. It's an ongoing decision. Be careful that you don't become proud. What a paradox the Christian life is, isn't it? It starts at salvation. What an odd thing. You want to go to heaven? You got to admit you're a sinner. You never admit your sin? You go to hell. Isn't that amazing? You want the power of God? You got to humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. I have a good friend, he's an evangelist, Jim Van Gelderen. He said to me the other day, he said, lean into your weakness. He said, lean in. He said, it's good. He said, Pastor, sometimes I'll stand up and I'll feel ready, prepared. He says, I stand there and he says, I feel like I'm just ready to go. And he goes, and nothing happens. He said, sometimes I feel so weak. And God steps in. He said, lean into your weakness. It's good. Can I tell you, church? Lean into your weakness. It's good. How many of you understand? It's not until you're weak that he is strong. It's not until you're weak, the Bible, and you recognize you need him that all of a sudden he steps into your life. And all of a sudden the Bible says, this is an important thing. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12, and he said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. The word soberly means without intoxication. You ever talk to somebody and we say things like this? Oh man, that lady, she's just so full of, she's intoxicated with herself. It says, be sober. Don't be full of you.
According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We sang about it today. He loves you. He's accepted you. We'll study it tonight. He loves you. He's accepted you. Many of you need to get a hold of that truth. The Bible says we need to recognize our pride. We all have it. John Ortberg tells the story in his book about a couple who pulled up to a gas station. Man got out and he went inside, used the restroom and paid for his gas. And he came back and his wife was engaged in a rather lively conversation with the attendant there at the gas station. And they got in the car and kind of parted their ways. And she said, "Who was that?" She said, "Oh," she said, "I dated him way back before I met you." And they kept driving. And he was feeling pretty good about himself. So he looked at her and he said, "I bet you I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you are so glad that you married me because I'm the CEO of a company and he is just a gas station attendant." And she looked at him and she said, "No, I was thinking if I'd married him, he'd be the CEO and you'd be the gas station attendant." Folks, it's just everybody battles it. Recognize your pride. God hates it. Proverbs 6, six things does the Lord hate. Yea, even seven are an abomination to him. And the number one thing is a proud look. A proud look. Pride is what made the devil who he is. Pride is what made the devil say, "I will ascend up in heaven. I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will." It was all about him. It wasn't about others. And he was thrown out of heaven. And that's how he started the mess that we're in now. And listen, we give people permission many times. I think we need to give people permission to recognize your pride, to look at you and say, "Dad, mom, son, brother, listen, sister, I just sense in your life there's just some arrogance creeping in." We all need to recognize our pride. Let me give you number two. Start serving. Start serving. Join a ministry team here at Greater Rhode Island. We have many. The most powerful way to grow in humility is to start serving. Serving is found 300 different times in the Bible. Jesus said in Mark 10, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." You say, "Well, I'm not really sure how to serve." Listen, you show up any day of the week, we got stuff to do around here. The gospel work never ceases. Jesus said in Matthew 20, "But Jesus called unto them and said, ye know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." He said, "You know how it is in the world. The guy at the top of the flow chart, he's king, right? The C-suite. The guy at the top, the one that has the most people serving under him, he's number one. He's the man. But he said this, but it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." So while in the world, the pyramid goes like this, in God's kingdom, the Bible says the pyramid goes like this. And the greatest one is the one that has more people that he serves above him, not the one that has the most people that serve him below him. Folks, it's called servant leadership. Practice it. So many of you are so talented. You say, "Pastor, what do you think sometimes when you stand up there?" I think, what if everybody here would just get involved in a ministry team? Our church would be a mighty, potent, powerful place for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that's true? If you would just give yourself. "Oh, I gave my money." You can't give anything until you give yourself. They say back in 1984 to 86, Peggy Noonan was that White House speechwriter. She wrote a great book, When Character Was King. When Character Was King, good book about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a great president. We all respected him. And if Ronald Reagan hadn't become president, I think El Salvador would have become Cuba, and I'm probably not standing here today. Ronald Reagan was shot during his presidency, some of you remember, and he was recovering there in his bedroom in the White House, and he went to the bathroom, and he spilled some water, and so he got down on his hands and knees with all this pain, and he was there just trying to wipe up all the water. And the aide came in. They said, "President, Mr. President, leave that. Let's let the nurse get it." And he looked at him and he said, "Hey, I made the mess. I'll clean it up. I made the mess. I'll clean it up." He was a great leader because he was a servant. He was a servant leader. Philippians 2 tells us, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other," the Bible says, "better than themselves." What a powerful verse that would be for many marriages here. Just treat your wife like she's better than you. You'd see change almost overnight. Start serving. Number three, how hard is it to serve? Anybody here would say, "Pastor, it's hard to be a servant. It's hard to go into the mentality." Okay, just me and you. Anybody else find it hard to serve? That's what I thought. Number three, write this down. Keep learning and listening. Keep listening and learning. You know, we've got to learn to listen. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. That ought to tell us he wants us to listen twice as much as we speak. Let every man, he said, be swift to hear, James said. Be slow to speak. And he said, and even slower to wrath. Proverbs is a great book. And the book of Proverbs says this a lot. Proverbs 3, verse 7, for example. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Look at that. Be not wise in thine own what? Eyes. Why would the Bible say that? Why would God look at us and say, don't think you already know? Let me tell you why. Because if you think you already know, then guess what? You'll never learn anything. And the Bible says, don't be wise in your own eyes. I can't tell you how many times people go, oh, I got to get with you. I got to, you know, get some counsel. And you sit there and you give them counsel and you go, yeah, you got to move from there. And you got to, you know, do that. And you got to sell this. And you got to do that. And, you know, I give them principles from the Word of God. And they come back 6 months later and they're like, hey, can we get together again? And I want to look at them and go, did you do anything with what I told you last time? Folks, listen, are you a learner? Are you a listener? Are you taking the Word of God? It's very important. If you're here, you're getting older, you're getting retirement age, and you know you can't listen to people, listen, just quit. Help everybody out. The Bible says we should always be students. The older you get, the more I realize. You know what I realize anymore? I realize how much I don't know. It's like the older I get, the more I go, man, there's a lot of things I don't know. I study the Bible every single day, and I read something yesterday, and I called a friend, and I said, that's in the Bible. That's unbelievable. I've never heard it before. Like, what did I do last time? Study the Bible. Listen to counsel. Be curious. Ask questions. Listen to the great ones. Pat Williams said, humble leaders are always learning. They don't assume they have all the answers. They're humbly curious. They're always reading. They listen to the ideas of people around them, including subordinates. They encourage fresh insights and suggestions from people at all levels, from board members to janitors. They keep listening and learning. If you're here and you're wise in your own opinion, I mean, if you're sitting there and you're just going, I shall not be moved, Pastor. I already know it all. I got it all down. Let me just tell you, I feel sorry for you. God says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Number four, spend time with ordinary people. This is a great one. Spend time with ordinary people. I want you to see it. Romans 12, Jesus said, this is Paul writing, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, he said, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Do you see it there? The Bible says, hey, don't be somebody who always is looking for people who are at a certain status as you. What shallow Christianity that is. I love 1 Corinthians 1. Paul said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh. It doesn't say there's not any here. Some of you own companies. Some of you, you know, you have a C-suite. Some of you, you know, you're wise. I'm telling you. But there's not many. Not many mighty. Few of you have as much muscle as I have. You know what I mean? I mean, just feel bad for you, right? A couple of you woke up, all right? I just wanted to just test the waters, okay? There's not many mighty. There's not many noble. Anybody here? You're like, you know, the son of a king? I mean, I was at Buckingham Palace this week, and it's just an amazing place to be there and to watch the royal family, to consider them. It's just amazing. There's not a lot of us. It doesn't say any. It doesn't say many, though. It says many. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, one of the saddest things to come into Christianity is snobness. People who only talk to the people who have a car like theirs, a house like theirs, a business like theirs. Few kinds of pride are worse than snobbery. Snobs are obsessed with questions of status, with the stratification of society into upper and lower classes, or its division into distinctions of tribe and caste. They forget that Jesus fraternized freely and naturally with social rejects and called his followers to do the same with equal freedom and naturalness, one author said. Our culture wants people to make it big. We are obsessed with big names. You know, I mean, we love Messi. We love so-and-so, you know. We love big personalities. We love people who go viral. We don't become socially, the Bible says, conscious very easily. Can I just say it this morning? We're all brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. After church, I'll say, hey, encourage somebody around you. Don't look at somebody and go, They're your brother and sister in the Lord. God said, spend time with ordinary people. Don't become socially conscious. Members, we're all members of the same body, the Bible says. Number four, five. Stop taking yourself so seriously. And all God's people said? You say, that seems kind of weird. Folks, listen to me. I'm so guilty of this one. It seems weird, but, you know, humility multiplies joy, but pride steals it. one pastor I knew got up at a pastor's conference and he said, you know, he said, when I was younger, I always worried about what people thought. And then he said, but now I don't even care. And I thought, that's a good way to live, isn't it? The fear of man is a snare, the Bible says. Here's something I've learned. No one really cares that much about me anyway. And all God's people said, I mean, I'm not even kidding. I was at an airport one time and I sat down at a waiting area and a guy came over and he sat right next to me. And I, you know, you ever have that awkward moment when there's like nobody there, but somebody sits right next to you and you're thinking, okay, buddy, you had all this room and he sits right next to you. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, hello. And I recognized him. I was leaving a pastor's conference and he saw me and I had just spoken and he said, are you who I think you are? And before I could answer, he goes, oh, this is so great. And I'm not even kidding you. I'm not kidding you. We were at a pastor's conference and here's a, I think another pastor. And he comes out and he grabs a picture of Ricky Martin and he goes, this is so great. I can't believe I got to meet you today. And I was like, sure. So you know what I did, right? I signed them all. Yes, I did. Ricky Martin. And I was going home, you know, eating a huge slice of humble pie. Nobody cares. They don't care that much. Some of us, you know, we took so much time to make ourselves look a certain way and feel a certain way today. Can I just say, when you have a hard time making mistakes and you can't laugh at yourself, and my kids sometimes will say, ah, you know, and I look at them and it just eats at me. You know what we need sometimes is just a humility tune-up. Number six, spend time with children. That leads me right into that one. Spend time with kids. You know, kids teach us a lot. I've often said to you, my children have taught me as much as I've taught them. And they're just honest. The kids down in the first floor, I'm telling you, the kids that came up and sang for the youth choir, they are just honest. I mean, they believe the Bible. They believe God. Some of you, I got to talk you into it. I got to present it. I got to have a little story and make you laugh and get you going, you know what I mean, and set you up. Not the kids. We just say, Jesus loves you. And they go, yay. And kids teach us a lot. Twice in the book of Psalm chapter 8, and in the Gospels, Jesus said these words, out of the mouth of babes have I perfected praise. You know what that means? That it's children that teach us the most, that are the most honest. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 later on, but Jesus called them unto him, and he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God belongs to kids. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Can I be honest with you? Humble people love kids. And kids love humble people. And not that kids are born humble. I already said that. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what they are? They're brutally honest. You know, you cut somebody off on the highway and they look at you and you go, you didn't like what he did, huh, Dad? Yeah? Are they brutally honest? You know, sometimes I remember my kids would jump on my lap and they'd look at me and they'd rub my belly and they'd go, whoa, you got a big stomach, Dad. You ate a lot of Thanksgiving, you know. Listen to kids. Jesus said, they're the ones that'll help you. Number seven, would you write this one down? Keep your perspective. Keep your perspective. Andrew Murray in Humility said, In the journey towards holiness, he said, true meekness comes when we see in the light of God that we are nothing and agree that our lives must not be our own so God can be all. Keep perspective. Listen, none of us are a big deal here. Teddy Roosevelt, who was the 26th president of the United States, was the leader of the known world during World War I. When he had guests and the day would end, he would often take them on a walk in the green area there at the White House, and he would ask them to look up if the time was right and have them look at the stars, and he'd say, gentlemen, we're now small enough. Let us retire to bed. He'd say, look at those stars. And he'd say, we're nothing. David, when he thought of it, said it like this. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. How many of you thank God today that the God of the universe, the one that made the stars, the one that made the oceans, the one that hung the moon, loves you? You're his child, and he cares about your situation, cares about your burden. You don't have to make yourself something. You don't have to carry the world on your shoulders. Listen, he's already got the whole world in his hands. So there it is. How to cultivate humility. Folks, it's tough to develop. How many of you would agree with me? It's a tough thing to develop. Tough thing to be humble. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, though, the Bible says. When we humble ourselves, we come to God. He begins to do a great work, and all of a sudden, the power of God becomes real in our lives. James 4 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I want you to see what the prophet said. Prophet Micah finished it this way. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He said, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy. Watch this. And to walk humbly with thy God. This is real simple today. Are you humble? You say, well, I think I need to cultivate this one, Pastor. I know I do. And I'm telling you today, today's a good day to just come and just say, Lord, help me. We come to this altar, we humble ourselves. You say, why? Because the Bible says to. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he shall do what? Lift you up. See, the way up, the way to power is through weakness. If you never agree your weakness, never bring your weakness, God meets you at your weakness. This is what Paul would say. Therefore, I glory in trials and tribulations, that the power of God may be perfected in me. Some of you, you have all the power that you need, but you never experienced it. You're just playing religion. Don't leave another Sunday and go back and just play the whole, I listened to Carlos for, man, you know, he droned on today. No, no, no. Can I just challenge you? Humble yourself for the Lord. And he shall, what? Lift you up. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement. And I pray, dear God, that you'd speak to us at this moment. May we be humble. Heads bowed and our eyes are closed. And tonight, is there anybody who would say, you know, Pastor, I got to recognize my pride. I got to come to Jesus. My thing, my situation, my problem, my trial, my character issue, my disease. What is it? What do you got to bring to God? My friends, your marriage, your kids. Hey, what do you need to be humble about so God can meet you there? He's able. He wants to. Here's the problem. The Bible says, humble yourselves. He won't do it. He doesn't want to humiliate you. He could. Many times we don't do anything anyway. He wants you to humble yourselves. Who would say, that's me? I need to do that. But is God speaking to your heart? Did you raise your hand? That's me. God spoke to my heart. So there's a lot of hands that went up, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to challenge you. But I just want to say, somebody's in your way, they'll gladly move. If you need to come, why don't you come meet Jesus? Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly of heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is, say it, light. Just step out. God spoke to you. Christians, let's do business with God. Here's an altar, and here's an opportunity, and here's where God wants to meet you. He wants to meet you there. He wants to meet you at your weakness. He'll meet you at your humility. He'll do it. He'll give you power and authority. But you got to say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Would you just come and tell him today? Just somebody's in my way. Just they'll move. You just kind of tap them. You just come. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And he shall lift you up. Friend, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd spend eternity in heaven with Jesus? What a gift that is. But here's how it's got to work. You got to humble yourselves and repent of your sin this morning. Why don't you do it? It's a simple call. Right there where you are. Just say, Lord, I call on you. Jesus, I repent of my sin. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Save me, Jesus. Would you tell him? Save me, Jesus. Help me to live the Christian life this morning. God's speaking to me, and I just prayed that prayer, Pastor. Did you just pray it? Did you mean it? If you did, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Anybody else? I just prayed and meant it. God bless you, young man. Anybody else? I just prayed and meant it. I saw this young lady in the back. God bless you. What a blessing. Who else? I just prayed that prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just asked Jesus to come in my heart. There's no greater joy. No greater joy. Lord, I thank you for these. Help them to live for you, love you, Lord, help them today to let somebody know of their great decision. Help them never forget it. May we be humble before you. In Jesus' precious, holy, wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's message. If you made a decision to trust Christ, we'd love to know that and send you some resources that you can use to continue your new relationship with God. If you'd like prayer, you can call us at 401-231-4796 or email us at prayer@gribt.com. You can connect with us through social media or our website at gribt.com. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.